it's raining, right? Like, but this is not normal rain. Here it's normal rain for us, but in the Noah story, it's not normal rain. The fountains of the deep explode up through the earth. This incredible cataclysmic flood hits the earth. Different books carry this thing about rain being a blessing. But here, when we meet rain, we don't meet rain as a blessing. We meet it as a source of judgment. God shuts the door of the ark. Hi, and we're at the part of the Noah story where it starts to rain. And I thought, hey, it's raining, right? Like, but this is not normal rain. Here it's normal rain for us, but in the Noah story, it's not normal rain. The description is that the fountains of the deep explode up through the earth. And maybe if you believe in the firmament and all that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6, it talks about a firmament. And maybe it's the firmament collapsing in onto the earth as well with all the water that it carries in it. But whatever it is, because nobody really knows because no one was around then, who's alive now, this incredible cataclysmic flood hits the earth. Now, what's strange is when you read in the Bible about rain is often referred to as a source of blessing. It turns up all over the place in the Bible. It turns up in Matthew, in Acts, in Hosea, in Isaiah, and all over the place. Different books carry this thing about rain being a blessing. In Psalms, David talks about it too. But here, when we meet rain, we don't meet rain as a blessing. We meet it as a source of judgment, which gives me pause, actually, because I think that, that's pretty indicative of the way we look at God anyway, right? We either meet him as friend or we meet him as judge. We meet him as blessing or we meet him as final authority who maybe doesn't give us good news. And that's the way this story starts to unfold. It's quite an incredible part of the story. So we're going to join it in Genesis chapter 7. And I just want to read you these few verses. This is what it says, Genesis chapter 7, and verse, we'll read from about 11 onwards. Noah was 600 years old, and on the seventh day of the second month, all the underground waters erupted up through the earth. See, I told you, not lying, it's not normal rain. And they came, and if rain fell from the sky in mighty torrents, not just raining, well, it's actually a mixture of rain and snow here now. It's not just raining like it is today. It fell in mighty torrents from the sky. The rain continued to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. Now listen, verse 13. That very day, Noah had gone into the boat with his wife and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. With them into the boat went every pair of animals, domestic animals, wild animals, large and small, and all the birds of every kind. Two by two, they came into the boat, representing every living thing. Male and female of every kind entered, just as God had commanded Noah. Now they all go into this incredible boat, this ark, this massive, great, giant, floating shoebox that Noah sticks together to rescue everybody under God's command. And as they do that, this rain starts to fall. But there's a description then that refers to this. Jesus refers to it himself. Now, we don't often think about Jesus and Noah in the same breath, right? But in Luke chapter 17, Jesus says these incredible words. Now, I want to read them to you. And it's part of the reason that I'm parked where I'm parked. Listen to this. In Luke chapter 17, got to get my glasses on again. This is what it says. Just as it was in the days of Noah, in those days the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings and going about their normal business right up until the time when Noah went into the boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. I am sitting in the center of town. Now, it might not look like a center of town to you, but it's our center of town. And people are going about their business. They're going in and out of the hotel and the bar and the cannabis shop. And they're going in and out of the bakery that's behind me here. There's cafes over there. The car park is full-ish. And people are coming and going. The public transport buses are running up and down. There's a school bus over there. Everybody is going about their normal day-to-day business just exactly the same way as they were in the days of Noah until it started to rain. And it's amazing because in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5-ish, it's somewhere around there, or 5 or 6, it says that Noah warned people all the time when he was building this ark, this way of escape. He kept warning people over and over again, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And you can imagine that people laughed at him and said, no, it's not. And they just went about their lives as normal. And I get the feeling that if we went out of the car today and we just told people, hey, you know, God's going to judge the earth at some point. God's going to judge your life at some point. Everybody would just shrug and maybe just carry on as normal. Say, ah, yeah, it's never going to happen. That's exactly what they thought in Noah's day, right up until the moment that the rain started falling and Noah went into the ark. Things were going on as normal. Nothing seemed to have changed. But then, in a split moment, everything actually changed. A split second, everything changed. You see, I didn't read you the whole of that bit from Genesis. It's pretty scary, this, I think. Now, let me finish this reading. They went into the ark, two by two. They got into the boat, representing every living thing, male and female. Each entered according to its kind, just as God had commanded Noah. Now, listen to this. This keeps me awake at night. Then the Lord God closed the door of the ark behind him. Now me, with my theatrical, dramatic mind, thinks, boom. Like, this door shuts, right? And there's no way of getting in. Now, I want to tell you something. I am very, very glad that it is God that shut the door. Very glad. I am very, very glad that I am not on door duty. I'm hugely glad about that. I am so glad that God takes the responsibility to close the door. He doesn't even leave it to Noah. Now, it's not that Noah's too dumb to be able to figure out how to latch a door. He's just built a massive box. But God takes that responsibility away from Noah, and he takes it away from me. And he takes it away from you, and he takes it away from any other authority on this earth. He takes it away from every single church group. He takes it away from every denomination and religious belief system. And he takes that responsibility on himself, and I am so glad. And he says, it's my responsibility to shut the door, not yours. That tells me that I have no right to judge. God is the person who decides who gets in and gets out. And he sets the criteria of this. I don't. He does. And I love that. It takes that responsibility off me. And it means that I got to stop being so judgmental, because it's not my job. It's actually his. God shuts the door of the ark. Now, can you imagine being on the outside of that ark door when it shuts? Can you imagine being on the inside? I mean, talk about social distancing. Talk about living life in your own particular bubble. They're in there for a year and 10 days. That's an extended bubble of time. That's extended social distancing. And they are in there, and God shuts the door. And at that moment, boom, as that door shuts, and it echoes all the way through the wooden framework of the ark. And maybe the animals stir. Maybe Noah or Mrs. Noah looks around and they look, someone shut the door. The people outside, all of a sudden, reality hits the fan. And they realize it's too late. They had all this time to make up their mind, but it's too late. These people, everybody running around today, they have all this time to make up their mind, and it's too late. Now, Jesus says some strange things, and we've talked about this before, that he often says strange things about himself. But in John 10 and verse 9, he says this, "I am the door. I'm the door." And I like to think that when Jesus is saying that, that he's not unaware of the Noah story. I mean, he is, after all, God. And he's not unaware of the ramifications of that statement. I am means God. I am. What is your name? I am. I am that I am. I am the door. Jesus also goes on to say this. He says, "Nobody comes to me unless the Father draws them." Now that word "draw," when he pulls them, the Father pulls them close. That word "draw" is the same word that's used for fishermen hauling in their nets, pulling in a catch, drawing them towards the boat. And Jesus says to them, "I am the door." And today, the Father may be drawing you towards that door. I don't know why you listen to this, right? I don't. And maybe you're scratching your head right now saying, "I don't know why I listen to this either." But somehow you keep finding yourself around things that talk about Jesus, talk about God, talk about the chances that God gives us in our lives. Somehow you find yourself around those. Maybe that's part of God's drawing you to himself. Maybe it is. See, let me show you his picture. Look at that. That's me and my bride. Now, if I look in the mirror, I realize that I am not the magnificent specimen that I once was physically, if I ever was. But hey, like this, it's not that guy. I've changed. Time moves on, and I'm glad it does. Time moves on. God tells us in his word, and over again, tells us, "I'm going to judge the world. You can meet me as friend. You can meet me as a blesser and a savior and a friend and a companion. You can meet me as all of these things, but the judgment is coming. It's going to happen. And right now, I have a chance to respond to that and make sure that I go through the door, which is Jesus Christ, to make friendship with God, which places me in a place of safety." Now, I don't know where you are right now, but I believe that God is drawing some of us to make our peace with him because judgment is coming. I have to just look at that picture and I realize, hey, the time when God shuts the door on me, the end of my life, hey, it's coming. I can't treat my body the same way as I treated it when I was 21. I was hiking the other day and I came home. I didn't have any aches and pains, but I knew when I was hiking, I'm not 21 anymore. Time moves on. The time when my door closes and I meet judgment and I meet God is approaching me. It approaches us all. It's further off for some than others. And I hope that my time is a long way off. I hope and I intend to live a long time. I love life. I love being on this planet that God created and gave us. But right now, as you're listening to this, maybe God is drawing you. And he's saying, "It's time to make friends with my son and enter into the door that rescues you." Maybe that's you today. Because the door is going to close. And we don't want to be on the outside of that door. I don't want to just be going about my day-to-day business, driving up and down the road in my truck and my Jeep and buying breakfast and going to the store and visiting the bakery and carrying on as normal when I know that one day I'm going to be judged. I need to be ready for that, and so do you. So I pray right now in the name of Jesus that if you're listening to this and the Father is drawing you to himself, that you'll have the guts and the courage that it takes to just pray a simple prayer and ask God, God, please forgive me for all the things I've done wrong, all the things that would keep me outside of that closed door. And help me to accept the fact that Jesus is that door that I can walk through right now because I'm invited to and drawn to it by God. And I pray that over you now as I prayed it over myself. And let's make sure that we're ready and that we take hold of God and we accept his offer of forgiveness and deliverance and a place of safety. Please, if you've got a friend who believes in God, or if you want to go on the church website, PembertonCommunityChurch.com, or PhilCan.com, or phone my phone number, 604-219-0911. Text, or whatever you want. If you want somebody to pray for you, we'd love to pray for you. Hey, bless you, and thanks for listening.